apartheid. My name is Catherine Spiller, and I'm the National Coordinator of the Feminist Majority Foundation campaign to stop gender apartheid in Afghanistan. And I'm joined this morning by Mavis Leno, who is on our board and who chairs our campaign, and she is going to speak to you next. We're here today to announce a new initiative in the campaign called the Back to School Campaign. As women and girls here in the United States are going back to school this week, their counterparts halfway around the world, women and girls in Afghanistan, are confined to their homes, prohibited by the Taliban regime from attending any school or any university. This is part of the campaigns to stop gender apartheid that the Feminist Majority has been organizing since 1997, and we've achieved a great many things in this campaign so far. Our organizing and petitions and raising public awareness has helped to stop the United States and the United Nations from granting formal recognition to the Taliban. And so only three countries in the world today even recognize or have relations with the Taliban, thanks very much to the fact that American women and men have been so mobilized by this issue and so outraged. We helped stop an oil pipeline from being built in Afghanistan that would have supplied the Taliban with billions of dollars in revenues to support their system of gender apartheid and oppression of women. We've increased humanitarian aid, especially to the women and girls of Afghanistan who are so desperate for food and for medical care, denied them frequently by the Taliban regime. And most importantly, we put this issue on the political agenda here in the United States and worldwide. More than 180 women's organizations here in the U.S. and worldwide have joined our campaign. Much of the credit to it becoming a public issue so that people everywhere in the United States knew that the Taliban had imposed gender apartheid and that women and girls in Afghanistan were oppressed. Much of that credit for the public awareness is due to our chair, Mavis Leno. The Back to School campaign is three parts. Schools like Ramona High School, where we are today, can adopt a school in Pakistan for Afghan refugee girls or one of the many home-based clandestine schools that have cropped up in Afghanistan to educate the girls. Brave women who will not be stopped by the Taliban have organized schools in their homes to educate their daughters and the neighborhood children. These girls and these women go to these schools in great danger of their own lives. If the Taliban was to find out about one of these schools, they could close it down in an instant, and sometimes violently. Teachers have been shot, students have been beaten for simply teaching girls how to read and how to do arithmetic. So this campaign, the Back to School campaign, is going to adopt these schools so that the girls here at Ramona High School can adopt a school in Afghanistan, can write letters and exchange photographs and drawings, can talk about what life is in the United States and what life is like in Afghanistan, and can say, hang on until we're able to stop the Taliban and restore the human rights that you once enjoyed. Restore your right to go to school and to learn. The other two parts of the campaign are the petition campaign. We've already delivered hundreds of thousands of petitions to the State Department and to President Clinton. It's been part of the effort to get the United States to do more to bring the Taliban down and to restore the human rights of women and girls in Afghanistan. And finally, we have an Afghan Women's Scholarship Program to bring Afghan young women who escaped the Taliban to the United States to pursue a college education. And as we speak, nine young women are starting college this fall here in the United States in our Afghan Scholarship Program. These scholarships are donated by community colleges and by four-year colleges and universities. Room, tuition, books, and supplies. They're now getting an education that's been denied them by the Taliban, and someday hope to return to their country to help restore that country and rebuild it after the Taliban has been thrown out. So that is our Back to School campaign. I'd like to introduce the chair of our campaign, Mavis Leno.
Wonderful to be here today. I love this school, Ramona High School. It's all girls, and boy, did they get it together when they heard about this campaign. They got on right away, and I really believe that this is going to be the same situation in this state and around the country. Only very small towns need be raised to change the circumstances for the girls in Afghanistan. It is not beyond the means of even very modest incomes to contribute to the welfare and the future of these women. We were struck over and over again during the course of our work in this campaign by the universal worry that all the Afghan people we spoke to had, that they were going to lose a generation of girls to the Taliban because of this ban against education, even supposing that the Taliban either loses its grip on the country or agrees to modify its stance on treatment of women. In 10 or 12 years, that's 10 or 12 significant years out of the lives of children that their parents feel their children can't afford to lose. So this campaign will make a gigantic difference to one of the greatest worries that these people have, even though they find themselves in a situation where simply sustaining life is very challenging. It's very hard to get medical treatment. It's very difficult even to get adequate food in Afghanistan now. I just want to say that I think that any system that seeks to eliminate one segment of the population from any opportunity to educate themselves or use their abilities is not just robbing those people of an opportunity, they're robbing the whole world of the talents and abilities that these people have. We can't know who in that group might have led their country to peace, might have grown up to find a cure for cancer, might have been a great writer or a great artist. When you make it impossible for people to take the first step, you deny us what might have been the fruits of their education and their labors down the line. That is a toll the world can no longer afford to pay, and we have to attack that kind of situation wherever we encounter it. And I'd like to think that this campaign to support the homeschools for girls in Afghanistan and see to it that they do get the education that the Taliban would like to deny them would be a step in the right direction. Thank you.
I'd like to now introduce the principal of Ramona High School, Sherry Breskin. We contacted Sherry about the campaign, and she said, absolutely. Sherry?
So happy to have all of you here with us today. And I want to tell you that this campaign is very dear to our hearts because our girls have many struggles as well. And when we watched the video and became aware of the struggles of our sisters in Afghanistan, my girl said to me, where are the men? Where are their fathers? Where are their husbands and their sons and their brothers-in-law? How can they allow this to happen? Our families would not allow this to happen to us. And I think it has been a great lesson of appreciation of living in this great country, of this quiet protest, because I can tell you our first reaction was a reaction from the sidewalk in the streets. It was not a reaction of petitioning and writing letters and being kind and supporting clandestine schools. And I would really like to acknowledge the men who are here with us today, our everlasting heroes, David Dukofsky and Jay Leno, of course, for supporting us, because without men like this, we could not make this happen.
I'm used to it. I'm the principal. I'm used to that.
Anyway, on a very serious issue, I think I'd like you to meet our student body president who took this issue personally. We have raised over $200 this morning in contributions. We will continue. We have all these petitions, and I'd like her to tell them about you. She's our student body president for Lynn Kent School. For us to hear that
all the injustices that Afghan women face, our first reaction was to respond violently. Rather, we have decided to respond in a more positive way. We sent out petitions, collected donations, and said prayers for Afghan women and children. On behalf of the student body and staff, we have been raising money and would like to present you with a check and petition. Thank you very much.
You guys are are proof that that's really not true. Separation really is an illusion. And if we don't, if we just sit around and stay silent about issues like this, then they're going to go on. And you never know. We like to think, you know, America is a great country, but you never know when that kind of mentality could leak into this country. I know I feel oppressed sometimes. My husband asks me, where have you been all day? So, you know, so this is really outrageous what's going on. And I'm very happy that I was asked to be here. I feel very compelled about this issue. And I really hope that people continue to support it, adopt the school, get involved. We don't have to go and burn down a building, thank God, to get our point across. We have wonderful people like Mavis who can do that, and Jay. And Jay too, yeah. You're a guy, but it's okay. So, you know, I just thank you so much for letting me be a part of this. And I hope that I can continue this kind of unity with my sisters here all over America. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye. Thank you. Just quickly, let me explain this burqa. Many of you already know, but this is the garment that women and girls in Afghanistan must now wear anytime they venture outside their home. First, they're not allowed to leave their home unless they're accompanied by their father or their brother or their husband. And if they have no brother, no father, or husband, they cannot leave their home. They must wear this burqa, which was never before really seen in the cities of Afghanistan. It was a garment that occasionally was worn in the countryside when women went to market in the villages and towns. But it's not a garment that was worn every day, and never in the cities. Women in the cities looked very much like contemporary women in the United States in the 80s and the early 90s, before the Taliban seized power. This garment totally shrouds your body. You must hold it together with your hands. Your hands cannot be seen, and you cannot let it fly open so that your legs can be seen. This is the mesh opening through which you see the world when you go outside in one of these garments. You can hardly see. The peripheral vision is destroyed. It's very difficult to walk without tripping. You can't run. The sunlight never hits your face. We wear these swatches of the burqa mesh that covers the eyes as a symbol of remembrance for the women and girls in Afghanistan until their human rights are restored. So we ask everybody that's joined the campaign to wear this swatch. This is one of the edicts of the Taliban. Women are not allowed to work, cannot be employed in any way outside the home, cannot go to school, and cannot really receive medical care from male doctors. Only in very limited circumstances are a few women physicians allowed to continue working. This is from a society where women were about 70% of elementary school teachers, about 40% of the doctors and lawyers. They were elected officials. They were full participants in their society before the Taliban seized power. Thanks. I'd like to introduce now Jay Leno, who has graciously joined our campaign from time to time at very key points to help us spread the word and raise awareness. And we want to thank him, Jay.
I look around the room and I see these young women here. I see the same look in their eyes I saw in my wife, say, 25 years ago, before you guys were born, that same sort of look of determination. And I realize many of you are underage, but smart women are very sexy. You know? I mean, when you want something and you know you can get it, it's just an overpowering, attractive thing. I mean, I see all these women here and they look like, we're going to do this. I mean, you have that look in your face like, we are going to accomplish something. And that's a really, really kind of a cool thing. I guess I'm going to introduce that. But this is something kind of interesting to me. You know, when I started the Tonight Show about 9 years ago, Matt and his lovely wife, they had one daughter at the time, and their second daughter, Hannah, right there, was born the week I started the show. And over the course of the last couple of years, they would make me cookies. And I would eat the cookies. And I have watched them go from just little girls who bake cookies to young women who are now involved in human rights and helping other people. And I am so proud of Elizabeth and Mr. Hannah who have come here today to speak. I mean, I don't get my cookies as often as I used to, but that's okay. I don't need any more cookies. To see them take an interest in this, helping other people, and just to see, in the course of just the short time I've been doing the show, see someone go from a baby to a young woman to a young adult with a purpose. If we had been in Afghanistan now, I wouldn't even get my cookies. I don't know what they would be here today. I wouldn't even get cookies. They would not have had a bakery. just be sitting at home. You'd be a lump on a rug. And here she is today to talk to you, so I'm very proud of her.
This
rights to be aware that the campaign has started right here at Ramona High, and that these young women and all of us know that when they put themselves in the cause of change, change in their lives, that they can begin to change many people's lives. So I'm proud to be here today to join the campaign. Thank you.
That you
saved my life. And it will happen, because when that lady was hiding Jews in 1942, which might as well have been 1,000 years ago to you guys, she didn't know in Orange County 50 years later someone would come up and thank her. But someone will, and that's really kind of the important thing here. You guys really are making history, and will be remembered for what you've done.
How can you get involved? Good question. We hope that viewers and readers of this coverage today will call our 888 number or visit our website, www.feminist.org, to sign up and join the campaign. People who want to adopt a school, whether it's a community group, a group of friends who play cards together, a swim club, schools of all kinds, grade schools, junior highs, high schools, will write to us. We will assign them a school that they adopt, and they will start writing to that school and corresponding with that school. We'll send them a packet of materials that includes petitions so that they can circulate petitions to help pressure the United States and the United Nations to do even more to restore women's human rights inside of Afghanistan. So people can join this campaign from all across the country, from all walks of life, and we hope that people will heed the call to help. Advancing society before the men seized power. So, you know, there were medical schools and law schools, and women were attending, and they were the professors. And all of this, of course, changed almost overnight when the Taliban took over.
Particularly, but it's not pleasant for anyone in that country.
Any other questions? This will be the last question.
have no idea, and I don't know that such a statistic would be available. But what you need to understand about the Taliban is that the Taliban was trained, they were part of a large group of soldiers called the Mujahideen, who were trained by our American CIA to help fight the communists when Afghanistan was in the war with communism. Obviously, the CIA didn't imagine that this was going to be the end result. However, America does have to own up to some responsibility for this, because we did not stay in that country and help monitor the peace. Instead, we left a bunch of very young, highly armed, illiterate thugs to roam the countryside and make all the trouble they knew how to make. And that is how the Taliban has been able to do this. They really have no other motivating principle in life but this strange form of Islam which they invented, and which has nothing to do with real Islam, and their ability to use armament, which is the only training and education they've ever really gotten besides their fundamentalist religious education. So their impact is probably greater than their numbers, because they can essentially sit up nights and work all day being bad. The rest of us try and be good while we're awake, and then, you know, we live a normal life.
Thank you. We can do one-on-one interviews if anyone is interested at this point. Thank you, and thanks to Ramona High School.